this computer. And I'm here with the lovely Paul Andrews for our weekly Business Bunker catch-up. Nice and warm and sunny, a little bit hot in my home office. How are you, Mr. Andrews?
Okay.
Curmudgeonly?
Yeah, I am. I'm just really, really fed up with so many things at the moment going wrong. Not a day goes past without something else going wrong.
And are you talking home-wise or business-wise or everything?
Well, both. This morning it was home. I got up and got in the shower, which was freezing cold, only to find my boiler had packed up again.
Ah, well, we do know Samsung Gas, of course.
Yeah, we do. But
he fixed my boiler. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's a bit of a long way from me. Anyway, I've got my local mate that does it.
And oh, good.
Hopefully, touch wood, I'm back up and running now. But yeah, what a pain.
How old is your boiler?
About 4 years old.
It's crazy. What make is it?
Worcester.
Which is a good one.
Yeah. You know, it's
well, just, you know, as far as they are. But do you know what? In the old days, a boiler would last a lifetime, 40 years.
Don't even get me going on
as
that.
As long as you and me, really.
It's political interference, introducing condensing boilers that don't condense. And guess what packed up on mine?
The condenser.
The condenser was blocked, yeah. And the thing I don't need, doesn't work, don't want, and the politicians made me have, caused my boiler to stop working, yeah.
So it's called a condenser. Is that the same as what those ones that, there's another word, isn't there, with one that just heats it up automatically? Is that a condenser?
Yeah, it is a condenser. No, it's just a...
It's got another word as well, I think.
Yeah, about 15 years ago, John Prescott made it a legal requirement to have condensing boilers.
And they're rubbish.
Actually, if you go and look at the heatinghub.co.uk, they've got a whole blog on there about why condensing boilers don't work properly, which
right.
is quite interesting.
I mean, I think they're sort of maybe all right in a little flat or something if you're only doing one bathroom. But if you've got a larger house and a larger family... Yeah, this is good because I've also had lots of boilers. And the house I'm in now has got really old boilers. And the guy that I bought from was a builder and he said, never change it, you know. and of course, we will have to one day. But, yeah, nothing worse than a cold shower.
Yeah, but that's just a long line, a list of in a list of things that have gone wrong over the last few months.
Well, you're coming into Leo from Pyrex, so it's probably...
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, my Pyrex has shattered, I think. My Pyrex shattered as it crossed the firmament or something.
Yeah, you have to wait for the cusp to change.
I'm desperate for a cusp, mate.
So who might the sponsor be this week, Paul?
Sorry, I missed that.
Who might our sponsor be this week?
Our sponsor again this week is the lovely folks at Thackeray Williams, the law firm.
They've been putting out some very good Twitter information about what to do.
Yeah,
and
they've got this fantastic helpline. I think they've extended the opening hours for it now as well.
Gosh.
Which is great. And it's available to anyone that wants to use it. It's a legal helpline. And we'll give you the number for it later in the show.
Well, we're now in week what of lockdown?
Well, we're talking in week 9, at the end of week 9, and we're coming into week 10.
Where I live, I don't know how it's changed where you, but the roads are really, really busy now.
Yeah.
You can see the workers are all coming back to houses and, you know, people have got them in, which is great. I'm really excited. We've got absolutely jam-packed parking on the seafront where we are. Beaches are heaving. Yeah. Quite a lot of teenagers getting quite merry on the beach and a little bit of aggression, I'd say. Is that you or me?
No, that was me. Excuse me. I think there's a number of issues there and they're worth looking at.
Sorry about that. It's my phone going. It's the computer phone. Sorry, carry on.
Okay.
Could you hear it at your end?
No.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't have known unless you told me.
Oh, well. These things are live.
When the government first talked about locking down, they said they didn't want to lock down too soon, because behavioralistically, they knew that people wouldn't tolerate it very long.
Yeah.
That has proved to be incredibly true.
Yeah.
So it's somewhat surprising that they continued the lockdown much longer than I thought they would, because I now believe that people are just starting to ignore it.
Except that we're still, as I keep thinking, we're still a fortnight behind Spain and Italy. We went in 2 weeks behind, and France. So we really shouldn't be coming out of lockdown, I don't think, last when we did. Well, I think we should have hung it on for another 2 weeks, but I know the reasons.
Yeah, I think we got to, because people are not, you know, you know, people are just ignoring it now. And I think we've got to address that. And the government are losing control of the situation, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you see Trump with his malaria remedy? I mean, having traveled to Africa like you have, I sort of know that malaria tablets, for example, make you feel very, very crook. You know, they make you feel really bad. But having traveled to Africa, as I have, you'll know that I've been to the Hotel Strand Swakopmund.
Swakopmund. She's listener, she's changing hats again, which I'm trying to ignore.
This is my bush hat.
And she's also holding up beer mats from various hotels across Africa.
Malaria tablet, I think, will make people feel really, really ill. And you can't just take it blanket forever, can you? And there'll be a shortage now that Trump said it.
I mean, that whole thing's stupid. But I'm more concerned about the fact that people are now starting to take things into their own hands and are ignoring the lockdown advice. And on the other hand, I think the government have got to come out with a much better strategy for unwinding the lockdown. We really do need to, you know, I don't think people fully understand still how much devastation there's going to be when we're through this and back into normal living. Not that we will ever go back to normal living, you know. Something like this has created a massive change in society, and the way that we work, the way that we behave, the things we do will fundamentally change. And I think we need to start talking about that now. And as I've mentioned a couple of times in our chats, I'm really disgusted with our media. No one in the media has focused on anything useful. No one in the media has started a debate about how we might come out of this, what the effects might be, what are some of the new things we might do. They've just not discussed it.
Well, there's no plan, is there? There's no positivity or plan. It's just...
It's not even, you know, I'm not even sure that we could come up with a plan yet. We've not even had any discussion. That's the thing that really, you know, makes me fed up, is that every day you turn on the news, you turn on a radio program, or you turn on a TV program, or you read a newspaper or whatever, it's the same old thing over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an argument about statistics. It's a load of people throwing charts around that disagree with each other, and a load of people saying it isn't. And that's of no use to anyone. It really isn't of any use to anyone.
Well, the news, I agree, is very samey, and there are journalists out there that should be doing a little bit more inventive and a bit more research, I would have thought.
I think we need a discussion. We need to start talking positively about how we might recover our economy, how we might create jobs in the future, how we might save everybody from penury.
Yeah.
You know, the government borrowed $61 billion last month.
Yeah.
It's more than they borrowed in a year before.
And they're all the furloughed are on my beach, I can tell you, in deck chairs, drinking wine and eating ice creams, buying ice creams, mooching around like they're on holiday. There was a positive, a couple of positives, Paul, because I know we like to focus on that and on the bunker. And I saw this company called plastoc.co.uk, and on the Twitter they're at Team Plastoc. I think they'd be great to come on the show, but they're probably really busy because they're manufacturers of plastic rods and tubes and parts.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've rapidly prototyped for hospitals in just 12 hours. I think they're based in Wickham, and they've made this plastic screening like a plastic box that the ill COVID patient actually goes into, and they have obviously air holes and things, but it stops any coughing or germs. So rather than the poor doctors sweating in that stuff, is it hazmat suit? I never know what they're called. Hazmat suit.
Well, PPE, but
you know, apparently the PPEs are really uncomfortable to be in.
And make you sore. Yeah.
Have a look on their Twitter and you'll see, I have retweeted them, but it's at Team Plastoc. So they did this prototype in just 12 hours and it's being now researched. So they're doing test coughs by puffing dust and things from inside this glass, this plastic thing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying things like that. You know, a lot of, you know, without being funny, you know, 3 months ago, we were all set to kill anybody that was involved in plastic.
Exactly.
And now they've saved their lives.
I know.
Funny enough, in Fruitworks, we've been looking at acrylics and plastics as a way of separating people when they do come back to work. Because obviously, we can't offer hot desking any longer because you can't share a desk. You know, that would be crazy at the moment. So what we've had to do is isolate all of our desks, and what we've done is we put up Perspex and plastic screens and made them all face the same way. You know, before people used to look at each other across the desk.
We
can't do that. So you know, it's now like a theater in there. Everyone's facing the same way. They're isolated with not that there's anyone in there, but you know,
there will be. Have you got windows in there?
Oh yeah.
Because I think that's a big thing, that you know, rather than using aircon, you could actually open a window and get fresh air in rather than aircon.
You've been to our place.
Yeah, I have.
Fruitworks doesn't need to open a window to let fresh air in because the windows don't fit. It's a Victorian warehouse, and the wind whistles through it anyway.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's tantamount to working outdoors in any case.
It's a beautiful building. And do you know what? I find when I travel that aircon always makes me snuffly and ill. It doesn't suit me. Doesn't suit many. So I think fresh air and windows is a good one.
Well, again, we're looking at reopening the radio studios.
Yeah.
And in fact, last Tuesday's show, I actually broadcast from the studio on my own.
I did listen in.
Yeah, because
I had three interruptions this time rather than four.
But I did it on my own, and that's what we will be doing for the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But of course, again, one of the things that we always shouted at people for was turning off the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, now we've said you mustn't have the air conditioning on; it has to be off.
Wow. You know. Yeah, so how things change. And it is, you know, I feel for you being on your own because we miss the eye contact. We miss our lovely guests, you know, the banter and the actual physical eye contact. And that's what a lot of us are missing. And especially the elderly, of course, who are really locked in. There was another proactive business, Canterbury Brewers. Obviously, brewers, a lot of them, the beer only has a sell-by date of a certain amount, a finite amount, and the restaurants aren't open, the pubs aren't open. So they are now turning their alcohol into ethanol, I think I'm right in saying that, and they're making hand sanitizer. So that's the Canterbury Brewers.
You well know where done. They are, don't you?
Just near you.
They're my neighbours. They're underneath us.
With drafty windows also.
Yeah.
So they are on the Twitter at Foundry Brew Pub. You can follow them if you fancy some hand sanitizers. I thought that might be good for you know, people that work. I was thinking about Spinnerjet FM, for example, who's going into people's houses. He's going to need a lot of that sort of stuff, and there is a shortage, I think, still.
Yeah, well Spinnerjet are now, as I understand it, offering fogging services as well.
Yep. I saw that Dan, the lovely Dan Juby and his team. So if you have a business, he can fog the business for COVID virus. And I think he said it lasts for 6 weeks.
I think it's 30 days. I can't remember. But basically what you have to do is you have to do a deep clean of all the surfaces first to make sure that everything's completely clean.
Yeah.
Then you fog the atmosphere. And then you get a certificate of saying how long it lasts before you have to have it done again.
That's great. So anybody that wants to know, it's at Spinnerjet FM on the Twitter, or contact me or Paul and we'll put you through to Dan Juby, the owner. Yep. And then there's a positive thing I saw another. I found three positive things, Paul Andrews. Is a new pie factory. Now, who doesn't love a pie? It's going to be... in Canterbury on the Nackington Road. If you remember, as you drove through there, there was an old reclamation yard.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
On the corner, which went up for sale. And if I'd have had the money, I would have snapped it up, but I didn't, of course. I counted out my threepenny bits, but no, nothing. I had a halfpenny and a threepenny bit, not enough. But it's going to be...
Thruffly bits probably worth money now.
Maybe. Mine are all in Christmas pudding.
Was it silver?
Yeah. I might have to put it in my tooth, actually, because I've got a filling out and we can't see the dentist.
Oh, dear.
I've been eating toffees, Paul. So it's a new pie factory, hopefully opening, whether this will change, but I read it in the papers this week. Plus a covered farmer's market in the Nackington Road. It's a £5 million development. It's going to be a processing plant, and they're going to use all the fruit from the Kent farmers to make fruit pies.
So they're making fruit pies. They're not making steak and kidney.
No, they're making everything.
Oh,
yeah,
are they?
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're making everything. Then also aligned with that in the former reclamation yard, Nick Brown is the former bricklayer who is the head of Candy Co, C-A-N-D-Y Co. He is also developing a £400,000 farmer's market proposal.
Wow.
All going through. So very exciting. I felt a bit sad for the Good Shed because I'm a big fan of the Good Shed, and they've been brilliant in COVID. They're delivering me fresh fish and whatever they have. And so I've just had this delivered, my lovely new husband. Oh, my birthday present. You're joking. Oh, wow. This is from Staines Farm for my lovely birthday.
It's your birthday tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Look at all these amazing tomatoes. I'll give you a little photo because obviously the listeners can't. That is so sweet of them. You see it?
Yeah. Wow.
I've got a lovely bunch. They're all different.
Are you telling me they're tomatoes?
Yeah, all different.
I thought they were peppers.
It's working. Working with a headphone. They're all different. I'll send you pictures afterwards, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, fantastic.
I feel I've hogged our time. And
you've just been tomatoed.
Oh, they're absolutely, and they're so fresh. Do you know who, David, who's the owner with Julie, his wife, I think I've got her name right. Sorry if I haven't. But he gets up in the middle of the night to get this amazing produce.
Yeah, fantastic.
To the shop, and he's delivering. So,
and I think there's going to be much more of that. I think we're going to be doing much more local stuff. We're going to be supporting local people, local growers, local farmers, local shops. We really have to do that. It's the only way we're going to recover our economy is by going local, as far as I can see.
I think so. I think there's a song about that. Going local down in Acapulco.
Oh, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right, so
I used to have one of those. That's a Cubs hat.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Cubs or whether it's St. Christopher's. I've got a feeling it was Shea's St. Christopher's hat.
Yeah, it could be.
But probably they borrowed it from the Cubs. Doesn't quite fit, but I thought it's sweet. I've been in Shea's wardrobe again. You round up now. You've got 2 minutes.
Well, this week on the show, we're going to be talking and focusing on charities and the social enterprise infrastructure and how COVID and the lockdown has affected them. But more than that, I'm talking to them about how we use charities in a more constructive way moving forward to support local communities, because they've got a lot to offer. And I think, you know, going back to a much more proactive charity model, it again is another thing that we need to push and promote. So
any charities in mind off the top of your tongue?
Well, there's loads of charities. Obviously, we've got two on the show this week. We've got Street Soccer and Kenwood Trust.
Yeah.
But it's about local charities, and it's about people that work in the local community and do things and help people, because that's what's important. And where we are now as a society, we have a massive amount of things that we need to look after, a massive amount of people we need to look after, everything from mental health issues to addiction problems, people drinking too much. I don't know if you know anybody that does that.
Yeah, well, lockdown fever.
Yeah. So, all those kind of things, mental health issues are going to be epidemic proportions over the next year or so because of where we are.
Well, apparently sales of alcohol have absolutely rocketed.
Yeah, so we're gonna need an awful lot of help in helping people there, and government systems can't cope with all of that. We need all the local support systems as well. So I think there's big opportunities for charities to help. What we need is to understand how to fund them, and that's a big issue.
I agree with you. And so if the listeners want to send us in some charities that they support and they know, and we'll give them a shout and perhaps have them on the show. But for now, from Paul Andrews and myself, have a safe week and enjoy the rest of the Bunker Show.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.